First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, back after a week hiatus. We got two for you this week. Today we're doing baseball, because the Johan Santana trade, that's actually a tough name to say, Johan Santana, that trade looks like it's happening, unless the Twins realize that they just traded for 40 cents in the dollar for the best left-hander this decade. But it gives me an excuse to have my buddy Gus Ramsey on the phone, who is the coordinated producer of Baseball Tonight for basically all of this decade, and he's also a huge Mets fan, so I had to have him on. Gus, how excited are you right now?
Oh, let's see. On a scale of 1 to 10, about a 12.
Wow.
So I was on the MetsBlog.com website, which is a great resource for all Mets fans, and all winter long, the guy posts the Mets fan confidence rating based on polling and stuff, and it had been hovering around 6 the entire offseason. Today, it's up to about 8.3. So,
ooh.
That tells you where we're at. In
well, it wasn't just that you got them, but that you fleeced the Twins.
Yeah, right? it's pretty stupefying that you know, in the beginning of the talks, you know, Reyes' name was at least out there. We, you know, they quickly said they weren't going to trade him, but his name was floated, and then Fernando Martinez is their top prospect. I actually went and saw him play last year when they were playing in nearby New Britain. And that kid's a special player. So to not have to give up him and to keep their most polished prospect pitcher in Mike Pelfrey, that's a great job by Omar Minaya.
So you're thinking the Twins in December, they're juggling these offers. They're saying, I want this. I'm going to play the Yankees and Red Sox against each other. And then all of a sudden, Hank Steinbrenner basically loses his mind. He says, you're not going to hold me hostage here. The Red Sox, who apparently were in it all along just to block the Yankees, all of a sudden they back off, and here come the Mets just flying in.
Well, up until a week ago, I really didn't think that it was going to happen. You just had to assume the Yankees or the Red Sox would say, you know what, he's the best pitcher in baseball, so we gotta get him just so the other team doesn't have him, kind of thing.
Right.
So up until, you know, in Steinbrenner, he was in, he was out, he was in. So you didn't really know what to think there. And the Red Sox, you know, between you and Peter Gammons and Buster Olney and other reliable sources, there are people telling me that, you know, that they've at least made some kind of an offer, at least at the winter meetings. So it was kind of hard to fathom that it would happen. And everybody in baseball is saying the Mets don't have the package to get them. So you have to give Omar a lot of credit for A, hanging in there, and B, never throwing in a Martinez or someone who would have upped the ante to make the package, you know, more palatable for the Twins.
Thank you for throwing me in with Gammons and Buster. I appreciated that.
Reliable sources.
I did have the people that I talked to who either work for the Red Sox or know people who work for the Red Sox. It seemed like the Red Sox were kind of in it, but not really. Like they never made a concrete offer. It was a lot of stuff like them talking to the Twins GM and saying, well, what if it was a package that included, but never actually saying, all right, here's our offer. We'll give you Ellsbury. We'll give you Buckle. You know, they never did that, I don't think.
Another very reliable source, Jason Stark, said to me yesterday that he felt like the Yankees and Red Sox were kind of in it only to amuse themselves, to see if they could push the other team too far and to give up too much. But it was funny. The prevailing comment in the newsroom here yesterday from Yankees and Red Sox fans was, I'm glad the Mets got him, because they didn't want to have to give up what they were going to have to give up to get him, and they're glad that the other team didn't get him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's like a three-way win.
Yeah, it was a best-case scenario for me because, well, I think if you're a Yankee fan, you have to be a little upset, because with the Red Sox, we won last year, we won in 2004, and everybody loved last year's team, and I'm completely happy they're all coming back. So, you know, the Johan thing, I think it was a trade you make if you're a little desperate. The Red Sox obviously aren't desperate. The Yankees are a little desperate, so you're hoping maybe they'll overpay for him.
Right.
The Mets were desperate, but but didn't have to overpay for him.
Right. The Yankees clearly have more holes and questions in their starting rotation. And I think if I'm a Yankee fan, I look at what the Mets ultimately gave up and say, why couldn't we match that package even without Phil Hughes in there?
Right.
You know, they certainly have the people that could have at least matched that package, unless the Twins were just saying, we're not trading with you unless we give you give us Hughes or whatever. You know who's the most bummed out about this deal is Eric Valence, because now his 57 won't be retired with the Mets. So he's a little, and Rafael Santana will no longer be the greatest Santana to play for the Mets. So there are two guys in Mets Nation who are a little bummed out today.
Yeah, but Rafi still has, he has that other tag, though, that he'll always get to carry with him.
Remember what tag is that?
He was legendary in the locker room.
Oh, well.
For the showers.
And he won a ring. And Johan has to do that. I mean, Lord knows the Mets have made trades that I have been extremely excited about that, you know, didn't pan out. See Robbie Alomar and the signing of Mike Hampton, who only stayed around for a year. But it's funny. You look at the, well, what did they give up part of it? You know, Randy Johnson, when the Mariners traded him to the Astros, they got back Freddie Garcia and Carlos Guillen, who at the time you're like, that's all they got for Randy Johnson, but those guys, you know, were real valuable major league players. So, and there's a long list of those kind of guys. But I am all for trading prospects. That's why you have them.
Yes.
You have a known quantity there. And it's a little scary what happened the second half of the season with him last year and the 33 home runs. But you would just have to think going to the National League, pitching in the pitcher's park. I mean, he still had a 3.3 ERA in the American League. Mm. So...
Yeah, you and I have always been in the give up the prospects for a sure thing in baseball.
Yeah, I just think more often than not, you know, even the Robbie Alomar trade at the time, just because he didn't pan out didn't make it a bad trade. And the Mets gave up Matt Lawton, Alex Escobar, and Jared Riggin, and then two other throw-ins later in the year. But you know, it's not like that trade came back to haunt them other than the fact that Alomar didn't perform to the level that you thought he might.
Right, and I think the best example of a prospect for sure thing trade is the Pedro trade, because the Red Sox had three sure things in their farm system: Brian Rose, Carl Pravano, and Tony Armas Jr. Basically gave Montreal their choice of any of the two. Montreal picked the two. None of those three guys really made it. Pravano made it for 2 years, hurt his arm, that was it. But the Red Sox ended up getting seven years out of Pedro. I think the worst case scenario is probably the Larry Anderson trade.
Right.
But even in that case, it was more of a, the real problem is that the Red Sox just scouted their own guys incorrectly, because they ended up giving up Jeff Bagwell, and we know how that turned out. But the problem is that they traded the wrong guy. They should have given up Scott Cooper for Larry Anderson. And they needed Larry Anderson, so it was a defensible trade, you know.
Right, and people remember that Bagwell trade because it's much more the exception than the rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are many more trades where you traded away prospects. I mean, even just like the guy, like the Mets traded Preston Wilson and two other guys you never heard of to get Mike Piazza. I mean, you're gonna make that trade every single time.
What was the Joe Nathan trade? Was it Joe Nathan, Pruszynski, and Boof Bonser?
Yeah, with the Giants.
Yeah, I forget who the Giants got though. That's pretty sad. I remember all the guys the Twins got. And none of the guys, or maybe no, the Twins traded Pruszynski. Was that it for Nathan and Bonser? I forget. I remember that one.
Yeah, well, they traded him and Boof Bonser and Francisco Liriano.
That's what it was.
For A.J. Pruszynski.
Yes. That was a worst case scenario, I think.
Right. So the Twins have been on both sides of it.
Well, you know what else is interesting about the Johan trade for you? The Mets have, you know, ever since the mid-'80s, have developed a nasty habit of picking up these Cy Young winners about 3 years after they won their last Cy Young.
Yeah.
And now you actually have a guy who's still in his Cy Young form.
Yeah, it's, you know, we got Saberhagen when he was going to be 29, 2 years removed from a great year. And he was okay, but certainly not what you had hoped. The best one was really the other trade we made with the Twins. We got Frank Viola, and they got Rick Aguilera and Kevin Tappany, who were both contributors, and they're big contributors to their 91 World Series team, and two other guys. But Viola was our last left-handed 20-game winner and pitched well for us. So one thing you and I talked about yesterday is that now they have appointment viewing pitching again, which is always exciting. I mean, it's basically been Seaver, Gooden, and Pedro his first year when he came over, more so because of who he was, not necessarily but
charisma.
What he was. You just wanted to see the spectacle and how the ballpark react kind of thing. But it's always a bonus when you have that guy who you have to schedule your week around.
Yeah, and I think that's the final level you can get to as a pitcher. Like, you can be, you know, you can be a really good pitcher, you can be a great pitcher, you can maybe even win a Cy Young, but if you become a pitcher that the fans of their team are making sure, I can't do a date on Thursday, Johan's pitching that night, like, once you get to that level, I think you've really accomplished something.
You know, this trade kind of reminded me of when the Sixers went out and got Moses. Because they were coming off of a couple devastating seasons. They lost to the Lakers in the finals in the year that, you know, with Magic, you know, and Kareem didn't play, and on paper maybe you thought the Sixers were the better team. Mm-hmm. And then they blew the 3-1 lead to the Celtics. You know, and this is, the Mets are coming off two devastating seasons.
Yeah.
And they went out and got the biggest fish in the pond, kind of a we owe you one kind of thing. Plus they're going into a new stadium next year. You know, they have their own network, which, you know, I just picked up, and so now I'm excited to watch, like, the Mets Hot Stove Report. And
wait, you left out one other similarity.
What's that?
The Moses was a discount deal. They gave Caldwell Jones and a future number one.
Right. You know, so, yeah, it's similar in that regard, too. And Dr. J is kind of like our Pedro. The flashy guy who's at the, kind of towards the end of his career but can still contribute.
You know, if you want to take that one step further, Moses still had his fastball that first year with Philly, and he won the MVP, and, you know, that was like the last year of his run where he was the dominant center of that.
Yes, hopefully that will be the case with Santana, since they're going to pay.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, maybe
$150 million.
Well, you're getting Santana at this stage of his career when he's thrown almost, what is it, like 950 innings the last 4 years. Showed a little signs of deterioration last year. Not a lot, but the 33 homers.
Right.
But on the other hand, going from the AL to the NL, I think, Jesus. I mean, he might have a sub-2 ERA.
I don't know when the last time the Mets had a starting pitcher at a whip under 1 was. You know, Pedro's first year, he was pretty close to that. But I think that'll be the innings he's going to pitch. Every game last year, Willie was going to the bullpen for, it seemed like, from the sixth inning on.
Yeah.
They didn't have guys pitch deep into the game. You know, Perez or Maine gave them a handful of starts, but. So just the extra 40 to 50 innings that he's going to pitch is going to have such a huge impact.
Well, also, I think there's only a few teams that it's really fun when they have a good pitcher. And, you know, the Mets have had that history when the pitcher is really good, Shea really gets going. I don't know if that'll happen in the new stadium, but it'll certainly happen next year. I think the Red Sox are like that, and the Yankees, and a couple other teams, the Cubs.
Dodgers.
Where – if the pitcher is really, really throwing darts and he's really on top of his game, the fans kind of go to another level. And I think that's – the Mets really haven't had that for a long time. A little bit with Pedro.
Well, that's always been the foundation of their franchise.
Yeah.
And for them to have, you know, gone this long without a true ace, you know, we've been waiting for it. We had some nice starting pitching over the last – since Frank Viola won 20 games. You know, Al Leiter had a good run. Hampton had a good year the year he was with us. And there have been other guys – step in there, but nothing like this.
Is he Venezuelan?
Yes.
So what's the Latin American clubhouse breakdown? Delgado's Puerto Rican?
Yes.
And you have some Dominicans. Pedro's Dominican.
Yeah. Don't quiz me on all of them, but...
come on! You're supposed to be an expert.
His agent, Santana's agent, is the same agent for Reyes and Chavez. So those guys, you know, should know other in some way, and hopefully that'll help grease the wheels on the
I always get worried when there's too many different countries.
Yeah.
Somehow, for some reason, it doesn't mesh totally right, because the guys all stick together with their own country.
That's Pedro's defining role in all of this. He transcends all that, you know, and in a lot of ways he will buffer some of the attention Santana's going to get, which will be a good thing for him. And, you know, Pedro's comeback is as significant to this team as whatever Johan Santana does.
Pedro's got 2 years left?
No, this is his last year.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this is repeat of 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, you trade for the guy, the big money guy, in the last year of his contract. Pedro going in, like, shilling all over again almost.
Yeah.
Except Pedro won't be as adamant this time that he deserves a huge deal, I don't think.
Yeah, as far as I know, he doesn't have a website that'll be blogging on every day.
That's probably true too. So you got Johan, you have Pedro.
El Duque
is Pelfrey ready or is not ready?
I don't think I. My guess is he would start in the minors. Although I guess there's some talk that he'll compete for the fifth spot. And maybe Aldueke goes to the bullpen. But I would think, knowing that Pedro and Aldueke are not getting every start, you know, they're not making 33 starts each. You figure Pelfrey's going to get 15 to 18 starts just pitching for those guys. Mm-hmm. So I would prefer to have him in the minor leagues working as a starting pitcher all year long, you know, and then call him up when you need him.
But then you have guitarist John Mayer as your fourth starter.
Yeah.
And then who's number five?
Aldueke.
So who's number three?
Oliver Perez.
Oh, I forgot about Ollie.
Yeah, I mean, Maine and Perez both won 15 games last year.
That's a nice team.
So, you know, do they have question marks? Sure. But
who's your setup guys?
We still have Eilman, and Duaner Sanchez is going to return from his taxicab injury of almost a year and a half ago.
Those taxicab injuries are tough.
And they picked up Matt Wise from the Brewers, who was having a great year last year until he drilled somebody in the head and then kind of went in the tank after that. So hopefully they can get him straightened out. And they have Wagner, and you know, they have arms.
So is your payroll now, assuming that they sign Johan, $25 million a year, that pushes you to the Red Sox-Yankee level, right?
Yeah, that came out last week. We were fourth, I think. It was Yankees, Red Sox. I want to say maybe the Dodgers were up there. The Cubs and the Mariners were out there. So, yeah, I mean, after the Santana deal, they'll be in the top three. The interesting thing is Omar, you know, last year he gave Wright and Reyes extensions and kind of relatively good prices, especially Reyes's. I think, you know, in two or three years those contracts are going to look at and go, wow, that's all they're paying them?
Hmm. What about your dad, just turned 75,
yep.
Mets fan since 1960. How excited is he about this Johan signing?
Well, apparently being in the car in the off season is a good thing for him, because he was driving around Monterey when they traded for Piazza, and he almost drove down in the Pacific Ocean. And yesterday he was in the car when he heard the news too. So he's thrilled. You know, he's definitely into the I want one more ring in my lifetime mode. So the last 2 years have been a little difficult to take, but he's excited.
I was shocked by my own reaction, because I actually found out in the car as well, and I kind of didn't want the Red Sox to get him, because I didn't want them to give up Buchholz and or Ellsbury, and I just didn't totally think we needed to do it, and I felt like we were doing it more to stop the Yankees. But I also could have talked myself into it. But as soon as it was like Johan's going to the Mets, I was legitimately fired up. I was like, yes, it's not happening. I don't think I've ever had that kind of reaction to a non-trade before. Right. And then I was fired up for the Mets fans because, you know, somehow, I don't know how this happened, but I'm friends with an inordinate amount of Mets fans, all of whom were really starting to remind me of Red Sox fans pre-2004 after the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because now it's been 86, so we're now coming on 22 years since 86.
Yeah, we were there in 2000.
You're almost coming on a second generation here. Yeah, now you're talking about if you're 25 and you're a Mets fan, you don't remember 86. Anybody 25 and under has no recollection of them winning anything.
Right. And for me, selfishly, it's one more great player that hopefully now will be around for 6 or 7 years, that my sons, as they start to follow baseball more and more, you know, have a nice cornerstone players who they can be excited about having on their team every year.
Hey, do you feel like the National League is kind of beefing up a little bit?
I don't necessarily think that. I think obviously, you know, the Mets are better, but I don't know that. I Lidge was a nice pickup for the Phillies, but he still kind of has to prove that he's Brad Lidge. And
what about Zona?
Well, they were good last year. I don't know, Colorado, I guess, should be better. So maybe the top half is better, but I think it's kind of in the middle where the American League teams are still deeper and better. I guess head-to-head, the interleague stuff kind of evened out a little bit last year. Mm. But I don't know, when the Vegas odds comes out for World Series winners, I think it'll be Red Sox, Yankees, Mets, Tigers will be your top four, and then I'll be curious to see how far down you go to get to how many National League teams are in the top 10. I guess maybe three, four.
What was the Cubs' big signing? I forget.
Um,
I can't remember.
Well, they signed the Japanese outfielder.
That's right. Fukudone. I'm excited for him.
Isn't that a place in Vegas?
I think it was. I think I've been there. Well, so the four biggest signings this year, not in terms of impact on the team, but in terms of just general interest and comedy, I would say I'd rank Johan first.
Yep.
I would say Fukudome is second. I just can't wait for that guy to be in SportsCenter. Eric Gagne, I think, going to the Brewers is third place for me, just because their fans were so mortified by it, and now they actually have to watch him for the next 6 months. I just think that's going to be funny. And then I would put Danny Heron number four. I like Danny Heron. He's been a fantasy horse for me for the last couple of years, and I just think he's good. I think him and Brandon Webb together, that's a nice one too.
You know, it's funny is that trade kind of gets overlooked now compared to the Santana trade, but it wasn't too dissimilar. I think Arizona traded four of their top seven prospects rated by Baseball America. And he's not Johan Santana, but he did start the All-Star game last year. He has been one of the better pitchers in the American League in the last couple of years. He's coming to a National League team now. You know, so it's not like the Twins were the only team that, you know, gave away an ace for a handful of prospects.
Well, you left out one crucial part, is that he was locked into a ridiculously cheap salary.
Right.
He was only, what was it? I think he was making like $6 million or something. I'd rather have Heron at $6 million than Johan at 25 if I'm any team other than New York, or Boston. You know? It's just fiscally, it's just a much better deal.
Especially the Diamondbacks, who've been digging out of financial holes for years.
Yeah, I like that Diamondbacks team. And I think, you know, the Rockies, they certainly overachieved the last 5 weeks. There's no question. But there is a foundation there for something really good, I think. And the Braves are always going to be interesting. So I think this interleague thing might be evening out a little bit.
Well, hopefully, like, the two big starts will be the Santana against the Yankees. And hopefully we'll get a Santana versus Clavin matchup at some point.
What do you think of the Bedard trade? Because I have two Seattle fans who are just apoplectic that their team would trade Adam Jones, who is their best prospect, for a guy that they have no guarantee to re-sign 2 years from now.
I think, I'll say what we said before, anytime you can trade prospects for pretty much proven quality starting pitching, you have to make the trade. You know, the Mariners have a pretty good outfield right now, so I don't know that they got a lot of room for that kid as it is. I'm sure, you know, if he's great, he would play. But there's a handful of Mariners fans actually in the newsroom here, and all of them were very excited about it. So,
really, even without the guarantee they could sign him?
Yeah, because, you know, I think you kind of have to look at it as like you can't worry about down the road right now. You got to worry about this year. You have a quality team that can compete. This guy is going to make you better. You have a better chance to win with this guy than you do with the prospects. And if he likes it there, you know, you bring him in knowing that you're going to try and shower him with stuff and make him feel good about being there. It's not like the Mariners don't spend money. You know, they throw money around.
Just at the wrong guys.
Right. So, you know, who knows that, you know, between now and then they won't give him some great contract.
I actually like that trade, and I'm gonna throw this out at you. So they get 2 years of Bedard. Even if he leaves, they get a number one draft pick for him, and you get to pick somebody that hopefully will be as good as Adam Jones was. So,
right.
People never factor that in when they talk about that. That's why if I was Minnesota, I would have just kept Johan, because I would have rather have just had one more good year from him and taken the picks after he left, versus trading for some other team's prospects and just completely bumming out my fan base. If you're a Twins fan now, what do you do? Hey, how about this? What if you're a Minnesota fan right now?
Yeah,
Tavares Jackson is your QB. You have this Timberwolves team that is basically Al Jefferson and nobody else, and you and your baseball team just traded their best pitcher, basically gave him away for 60 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, we had a great graphic on our shows last night talking about some of the Herschel Walker trade. Rod Carew traded to the Angels for Ken Landreau, Dave Engel, Paul Hartzell, and Brad Havens.
Oh, no.
The North Stars used the number one pick in ADP for Brian Lawton when they could have had LaFontaine or Iserman. The KG trade. You know, the Randy Moss trade is a little hard to kill because he was kind of a malcontent at that point. But
he's succeeding.
Right.
Yeah.
The release of David Ortiz and signing Joe Smith to an offer sheet that cost him five first-round draft picks.
Yeah, you know what? I think they've surpassed Buffalo. I think this Johan trade has pushed the Minnesota fans past Buffalo on the mass suicide index.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, at the very least, Twins fans can say that they've won a World Series, but the, you know, they're right there with the Bills in the Super Bowl.
And well, when was they won in 88, and when was the other one? 91.
Well, they lost to the Braves in 91.
Oh yeah, they won in 88.
Yeah. And then they are going to have to look it up.
No, they didn't lose in 91. They won in 91.
They won 4-3 in 91?
Yeah, remember they that was the Jack Morris 10-inning game. That should have put him in the Hall of Fame by himself.
I'm sorry. Right.
But that was it for them. And then the Timberwolves have really only had one time when they even contended. And the Vikes have just, you know, it's been decades of heartbreak. Yeah, I think they might have passed Buffalo. I think that might have been it. I think they're – well, actually, the Cleveland fans now are going to say they should be involved.
Right.
But they at least Cleveland gets to watch LeBron all the time. How bad is that, you know?
Yeah. It's that's a three-horse race right there. That's, and the Twins are moving right into a new ballpark, too. So that's a little dicey, too. It's like, hey, come out and see Carlos Gomez.
You know what they're calling that? The Fukudome. Because that's the real-life Fukudome. The thing I never understand with these trades when people make them, and maybe they're logical and maybe they really like the guys they got from the Mets, but you have to factor in the impact it's going to have on your fans. Your fans have watched Johan Santana for the past 7-8 years, whatever it's been. He's the best guy on the team. He's the most fun guy to watch. He's the heart of the clubhouse. So not only do you not resign him, but you give him away for whatever. I don't see how your fans bounce back from that. I really don't.
Well, it's tricky because everything I've seen makes it seem like Santana wanted out. So at that point, you have to say, well, if he wants out and he's going to leave at the end of next year anyway, whether we wait to take the draft picks or we make a trade to try and get him, we got to do something. So either way, your fan base isn't going to be happy. Now, would they have been happy if they've gotten Philip Hughes or Jacoby Ellsbury? Absolutely. You know, there was a Minnesota-based sports talk radio host on news earlier today, and he was saying that was like the biggest thing, that they didn't get a single proven major league player,
the blue chipper,
for the best pitcher in baseball. And you can certainly understand that, but you know, it's kind of like they played a game of chicken in the winter meetings and they lost.
I think the guy should get fired. If you screw up something that is this big, if you screw up the trading of your best guy and you end up not getting nearly as much, that's a fireable offense. That's like when the Orlando Magic GM traded T-Mac for, you know, the poo-poo platter. I think you lose your job. That's it. If you can't make that the biggest decision that's basically on your table, on your plate, then how are you trusted to make any other decision?
Yeah, it's you know, it's the guy's first big deal, so if that's a career-defining moment for him, that's not a good thing. You know, you don't know what other forces were involved there. If the owner is telling him, you know, don't do anything before January 15th or February 1st, or, you know, let's make the Red Sox and Yankees drive up the prices, you never know. So,
I'll tell you something else. If the Red Sox had had Coco Crisp, if he was involved and, like, three other of their prospects, I would rather have had that, because at least Coco Crisp, you know, I know his hitting has been up and down, but he's still a fantastic defensive center fielder. At least you have somebody you can throw out right away and be like, hey, here's one of the guys we got in the trade. But you have these four prospects, nobody even knows, you know, maybe one of them.
You know, we definitely saw enough of Gomez last year to know that he could be a really good defensive player, and he's got a much better throwing arm than Coco, as most people do.
I think I do.
So, you know, from that standpoint, you can understand Minnesota saying dollar for dollar, Gomez is a better deal than Chris. But
Well, plus, we forgot they lost Torii Hunter, too, who's also extremely popular.
Right. So, I mean, they need Mauer and Morneau to, you know, and then they just gave Kadir a big contract, too. So that was the other part, is they signed these other guys to these big deals, so you knew they weren't signing Santana or anything, so they kind of kept pushing themselves a little further and further away from being able to hang on to him or getting too much value for him.
So what would be your World Series pick if you had to do it right now?
I'm not yet convinced that the Mets are going to be there. You still have Moises Alou in left field, who is a injury waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Pedro, El Duque, Main, and Perez are all question marks to some degree for various reasons. You know, Brian Schneider is our everyday catcher. Ryan Church is our everyday right fielder. Carlos Delgado took a big step back last year. We certainly, I don't feel nearly as good about the Mets as Red Sox fans should feel about their team.
Hey, one piece of good news, though. Tommy Glavine's two-year or three-year, how many years was it?
It was four long.
His four-year spy mission is now over.
It's people talk about Spygate. You know, no one talks about the Tom Glavine mole the last 4 years and how the Braves are probably paying him an extra $5 million a year on top of what the Mets were paying him to come and stink for 2 years and then build up our hopes and dreams and then dash it all in one fell swoop.
We had that happen with Ramiro Mendoza. The Yankees sent him over as a counter spy.
I don't think your expectations were as high.
No, but we were counting on him to throw 100 innings and be this valuable piece in the playoffs because he'd been there.
Did he have the defining moment of your season?
No.
Did he walk out on the mound needing to pitch a good game, last less than an inning, and basically rip off his Mets shirt to reveal a Braves shirt underneath it?
No, he did not.
Hit your manager over the head with a chair?
No, he didn't. There were no wrestling parallels to the Ramiro Mendoza era.
Speaking of, did you hear about the Royal Rumble this past weekend?
No, I did not. What happened?
I had friends who went, and both Snuka and Piper took part.
Snuka, Jimmy Snuka, and Piper,
yes.
Roddy Piper?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. About midway through, they're like numbers 22 and 23 or something. So, you know, the Snuka music starts up, and people just go nuts. And then the Piper song is next, and people go nuts. And all the other wrestlers got out of the way and stood around the ring as Piper and Snuka wrestled each other for like a minute and a half before they both had heart failure.
I was going to say, those are the only two guys alive from that era, except for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Wow.
So within a span of a week, you could have seen a 62-year-old Rambo and like a 68-year-old Snuka performing.
That was my last question for you before I let you go. And you actually have a job to do. Are you going to go see Rambo, or is it a no for you?
I really want to. Howard Stern said great things about it the other day.
I want to go too.
But I just with Ramsey child number three right around the corner, finding time to sneak out for 2 hours. Honey, don't go into labor. I have to go see Rambo.
Yeah, you're watching Rambo with your cell phone on vibrate in case anything happens.
Exactly. So I might have to wait for the DVD to come out. But I'm actually hearing good things. Supposedly he's used some like real life video of atrocities and things that are going on in places like Burma or wherever, and it's a little bit disturbing.
Wow.
You're seeing like bad things happen to women and children.
I've intentionally avoided reading or hearing anything about it because Sly had me from the moment he said, we're making Rambo 4. And that was it. I didn't need to be sucked in any direction. I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm hoping, you know, the Rocky remake did okay. Not remake, whatever.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Balboa, that did well. Rambo looks like it's doing well.
It's doing great.
I think we're greasing the skids for over the top two. What do you think? He's still living with his son. His son is now grown up. He's still arm wrestling. He's still turning the hat backwards. But his son, he wants to go into arm wrestling now, but Sly doesn't want that life for him. And the son runs away even though he's 30. And Sly has to find the kid, and they end up, they arm wrestle in the finals as enemies, and then refine father and son love at the end.
I think he could do that. I think he could do Cliffhanger 2, where terrorists are trying to invade the country by landing on the highest mountaintops in our country.
Carell and I talk about Cliffhanger all the time. Really the lost great Stallone movie. It's a great movie. Everybody liked Cliffhanger.
Yeah. It launched many careers. Who's the guy who was in Cool Runnings? Who's the guy who was in Cool Runnings with the one name?
Leon.
He was the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he was one of the bad guys. That was great.
I remember I went to visit you in Orlando. I think that came out in 93. And the two highlights were Cliffhanger, and I think we played Madden we played PGA Tour 94 for a week straight. Remember?
Yes.
That was the spring that we found out that we could play skins with Tommy Armour III. It just have him because for some reason Tommy Armour III was in PGA Tour 94 and he was so bad that it was fun to play with him. He'd shoot like an 85, but then would somehow come in and steal one of our skins. But
that should be your like pod, one of your podcast quests for 2008.
To Tommy Armour
III, and get him on.
That's a good one. All
right, I would also one other Stallone film would be Stopper. My grandmother would shoot.
I don't want to.
She's older now.
What about still, Rhinestone too?
She's still packing heat.
Stopper, my great grandmother. Yeah. I think we got Rhinestone too. I think would be the least successful sequel you could make.
Yeah, there's not a lot of film demand for like Dolly Parton. Was she involved in that one the first time?
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
She's still alive, fortunately. All right, I have to let you go. Gus
All
Ramsey,
right.
Thanks for having us. All right, thanks for coming on.
Sure.
And congratulations to you and the Ramsey family on Johan, as well as the Ravo number 3.
Who may be named Johan.
Yeah. He's working into the middle name.
We're negotiating right now.
Santana is also a nice name.
Absolutely.
You could, you know, the other way you could do is you could name your dog Santana. It's a nice dog name.
You know? I like that. That's good.
Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
See you.
All right. We'd be remiss if we didn't call the loser in the Johan Santana sweepstakes, my buddy Jacko, diehard Yankee fan, who had his heart set on Johan pitching in the pinstripes. And now it's not going to happen. Let's get his reaction.
Hello, John O'Connell.
Johnny.
Hey, there he is.
Hey,
buddy.
You need to be hearing from me a day after the Yankees' 2008 season basically went up in flames.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm pretty much locked out of the 2008 season already.
That's it, huh?
I'm taking bets from people at work that want to. I'll bet anybody any amount of money that the Yankees did not make the playoffs in 2008.
Oh, this is between this and the Republican Party. This is really shaping up as your worst year.
It really is. This may be the year that I run off and live in the woods and just live off the land, see grubs and berries. It really, really may be.
Let's recap your 2008. Last week, Martin Luther King Day, you get rear-ended. Your car gets totaled.
Indeed.
This week, the Yankees inexplicably don't top the Mets package of Joe Schmo, Lou Schmoo, Mike Schmuck, and John Schmuckman.
Yeah.
And they don't get Johan, the starter they desperately need. So we're not even into February yet, and this has been in 2008. It's a disaster.
Pretty much, yeah. It's not starting well, that's for sure.
And then you're looking at probably Obama-McCain?
Obama-McCain, yeah. Probably, I think it's still going to be Clinton-McCain.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think Super Tuesday, she has some advantages.
All right. Well, let's get back to Johan.
All right.
How do the Yankees not get this done?
Well, I mean, the Twins have to be the dumbest franchise in the history of professional sports. Let me just get that on the record. Since they traded arguably the best pitcher in baseball for four guys no one's ever heard of before. And by the way, we'll never hear of again. Gammon said none of the four guys would be in either the Yankees or Red Sox top 10.
Is that a problem?
2 months ago, they're talking about like Ellsbury or Lester or Hughes and Cabrera. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And they got greedy at the winter meetings, and then they end up settling for not like 50 cents on the dollar. They end up settling for like a penny on the dollar for Santana. I mean, it's ridiculous what they did.
I said 60 cents on the dollar. I was being nice. But yeah, you're probably right. It was about 40. At that point, wouldn't you just keep them and keep them for an extra year and just let them go and get the draft picks?
Yes. Yes, I mean, to do what they did, or at least keep them until the trading deadline or spring training when the Yankees realized that they don't have the starters that they thought they had. I mean, gosh, ridiculous. So they trade them for four guys no one's ever heard of before. And, I mean, part of it, I guess, is this foolish thing that we've talked about in the past of, well, yeah, we're going to be much worse off as a team, but at least he's in the other league. We don't have to see him again. I mean, I guess I think there was sort of a National League discount for the Mets. And all along, they're like, well, no, we're not trading the Mets unless Jose Reyes is involved. I mean, it's ridiculous what they traded him for.
Yeah, the Twins GM is like, look, listen, I could have gotten Phil Hughes, but the good news is he's in the other league.
Yeah.
He's not going to be beating us when we're 62 and 100 next year. So instead, we're going to go 64-98. So guys, right. Back off.
Right. And with Phil Hughes, we could have had, you know, maybe a starter that someday would be near Johan. You'd have a, you know, competent young guy that's, you know, exciting to watch. No. No, you're going to have Carlos Gomez hitting 260.
I just had my buddy Gus on the phone, who's a Mets fan, the winner in the Johan sweepstakes.
Yes.
And I was saying about if you're a Minnesota fan right now, not only, you know, Moss, Ortiz, KG, and then on top of everything else, now Johan, And it's like minus 10. It's probably like minus 10 a minute.
That's right.
It's probably the most bummed out a sports fan has ever been.
Absolutely.
As a fan of these Minnesota teams today.
But if you're a Minnesota Twin fan and you go to that stadium and you give any kind of money to your owner, who's like one of the wealthiest guys in the world, and won't pay players, then you're a fool. You get what you deserve. Like, if anybody goes there and watches games, you're an idiot. I'll say that to the people of Minnesota, and late emails come in. If you go see the Minnesota Twins play, you are an idiot.
Yeah, what? We always hear threatening of a fan boycott.
Right.
But this really seems to be the one time. Because didn't he soak them for a new stadium?
Yeah.
It's like paid by tax dollars and stuff?
The guy's like the wealthiest guy in Minnesota. I'm not sure what that really means. But he's also one of the wealthiest guys in America. Now, if they're completely thrown Minnesota, there goes Iowa and Minnesota and New Hampshire.
Yeah, for your political future.
I only have 46 states besides Connecticut that I can now show my face in. The numbers are dwindling.
Now, the Minnesota fans agree with you.
But the guy's like one of the wealthiest guys in America. He soaks the taxpayers out there. And I, frankly, can never understand the notion of why some guy making like 30 grand has to pay more in taxes so that a billionaire can pay millionaires.
I know.
When there's no economic benefit to communities, it's been shown time and time again. And I love sports as much as the next guy, more than the next guy. But so they have their wealthiest donor who somehow has to have a payroll of $14, basically. You have the best pitcher in the game, and then they trade him for a nickel on the dollar. I just don't. And now I'm still going to go and like pay my Minnesota Twins season tickets. I don't get it. And obviously I'm bitter because I wanted to be on the Yankees, but. So take that for what it's worth, but still.
Yeah, at least with the Royals fans, they can kind of talk themselves into being like, you know, we're a small market and our owner is not totally loaded. Like,
right.
This Minnesota guy soaked them for the tax money. He's rich. There's no rational reason why they can't at least have a team that's in the median. Like, Milwaukee spends, what, like 70, 75 million? Like,
right.
There's no difference between Milwaukee and Minnesota.
None.
And I don't get it.
I don't know what Carl Poldad looks like, but I like to envision that he looks like the guy in the Monopoly game with the top hat and a monocle. He's lighting a cigar with $100 bills. God. I mean, and you know, and the Yankees just, I mean, why the Yankees wouldn't step in at the last minute yesterday at like 4:30 and say, all right, we'll give you Hughes and Cabrera. Let's cut the nonsense.
I think the guy called and said, look, here's what I'm going to take. And he said the four guys, and Steinbrenner was like, you a-hole. That's it. I'm tired of being lied to. There's no way you're accepting that package.
Yeah.
And then he hung up on the guy, and then it was on SportsCenter.
And you know what? They probably called the Red Sox, and they were like, hey, we got our final offer from the Mets. And the Red Sox are like, did the Yankees make a final offer? And the Yankees, they were like, no. And the Red Sox were like, geez, we'll get back to you.
The Twins caught him, and they were like, so remember in December you said Ellsbury – so wait, you said the Yankees are out of it? Yeah, so anyway, Ellsbury. can we call you back 5 minutes? And that was it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the Red Sox played it perfectly. What can I say? I wish I couldn't say that, but I could. And what kills me is every Yankee fan I see that's like, oh, I'm so excited about the prospects. Ooh, the prospects. Yay. Like everybody treats it like fantasy, like a fantasy league, and you want to be like the cool guy because you found somebody in the seventh round that's like a diamond in the rough, and oh, you're so clever. How about you just go get the freaking best pitcher in baseball and be a number one starter, and we can be so clever and pat ourselves on the back?
I know. It's not like the Yankees, like one of their untouchables was Jose Tabata.
Yeah.
Who's like 12 years old. Like he's in the sixth grade right now in some third world country.
Yeah.
This guy hits 780 in sixth grade.
It's ridiculous.
No, but seriously, Tabata I think is 18 or 19. Guy. Hey, can't touch. No. Five tool guy.
And some guy, Austin Jackson, who's an outfielder. I will eat my own leg if Austin Jackson is ever a key piece of the Yankee machine.
That's a nice name.
Austin Jackson.
Yeah, I like that name.
But I will tell you something. The day he's in the heart of the Yankee lineup, everybody call me and let me know about that. I'll be waiting by my phone.
You're so
over the paper. Over the weekend, I read in the newspaper. I can't even talk right because I'm so agitated about everything. Let me just crawl out on the ledge and continue this conversation. Over the weekend, they had a story about Cashman and Theo in New Jersey. Like, you could pay $40 and go listen to them pontificate about baseball.
Mm.
First of all, Cashman should be fired for going anywhere with Theo Epstein just on principle. Right. And they're like chummy, buddy-buddy, like the Abbott and Costello for the new generation, like shucking and jiving about the game, about the teams. Give me a break. And Cashman says, oh, we're not going to, you know, we're going to rely on our youth and not trade away the youth. And all these idiots in the crowd cheered for that, cheered. When Phil Hughes is 10-9 with an ERA of 4.75 in August, I want to hear from those people to cheer again. And Johan's 19-1 with an ERA under 2.
Well, that's the other part of this that well, maybe people have mentioned it, I haven't heard it, but the double whammy for the Yanks is not only that they didn't get him, but he's going to be pitching for the Mets, and the Mets fans are going to be so excited to have this guy who's in their prime. And meanwhile, it's going to be like, yeah, Phil Hughes made it to the sixth inning today.
Exactly.
Only gave up 4 runs. It was a good start. Yeah, I promise.
Really, something to build on, right?
Right.
And, I mean, the Yankees are going to run out 3 young guys if they're stupid enough to put Job in the rotation rather than putting him in the eighth inning where he belongs. And they're all going to be on pitch counts. So we're going to get a lot of Kyle Farnsworth. Fantastic. Good times. Can't wait.
Well, at least you have a new manager.
Yeah. Joe Girardi. They were saying on the radio the other day that one of the reasons he got the job is because he apparently convinced them that he can fix Kyle Farnsworth.
Fix him like you would fix a dog?
Well, that's the way he should be fixed. That's the way I'd like to fix him. But he meant fix him as in make him a good quality pitcher. Uh-huh, right, yep.
As a quality, like, setup guy?
Exactly, right.
What did you signed Rivera. You re-signed him, right?
Yeah, we did.
And you re-signed Posada.
Sure.
And you just extended Cano, which I thought was a very fair price for him.
Yeah, that was a good deal. Yeah. Kudos on that one.
$30 million, 4 years. Cano's agent should immediately be fired.
Definitely.
His agent was like, Cano's like, I don't understand. Can I make 15 million? No. Take
sign it.
Sign it. By the way, my commission is going to be 3%.
Right.
And, I mean, that was terrible. $30 million for 4 years for Cano?
Yeah.
He's going to hit like $350 next year.
Absolutely. We'll take the next Rod Carew. We'll take him for $7 million a year and change.
Yeah, that was a good deal. I like when teams like the Yankees and the Red Sox do these great bargain contracts, and then they completely overpay for somebody else to negate any advantage they would have gotten from a cheap contract.
Here's $28 million prorated for Clemens, and meanwhile, $7 million for Cano.
So Clemens isn't back.
Not yet. There's still time. Who knows?
So Phil Hughes, I don't think Clemens is coming back.
I'm kidding about that. But
he's with OJ in the golf course right now looking for the killers.
Looking for the real steroid user.
So Hughes moves into Clemens' spot. Conceptually, I'm saying.
Yes.
Hughes goes into Clemens' spot. Ian Kennedy, maybe fifth starter?
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends. The fifth starter is either going to be Mike Mussina or Jabba Chamberlain. And now hopefully they'll use Jabba in the eighth inning, and then someday he'll be the closer, but they seem intent on starting him.
You're going to take Jabba out of throwing 100 innings in the seventh and eighth innings, like these valuable set, and you're going to make him a fifth starter?
Apparently, unless they go with Mussina. I mean, right now their rotation is Wong, Pettit, Hughes, Kennedy, and either Mussina or Chamberlain.
Oh, Johnny. That has 82 and 80 written all over it.
It definitely does, especially when Hughes, Kennedy, and Jabba are like on pitch counts of 47 pitches or something, you know, to protect their delicate arms for future use down the line.
Well, the good news is you won't have Joe Torre burning out whoever the Scott Proctor of this season is.
That's right.
Ending his career by June.
I can't even think. I'm lost now. They signed a setup guy from the Rockies. Who was the guy they signed?
Brian, what was his name?
Oh my God, I can picture him and I can't think of his freaking name.
There was a day with sports when I could just rattle these names off.
They basically traded him for Luis Vizcaino, who they didn't sign, and the Rockies signed him and they got the Rockies guy. I can't think of who it is, but nothing to write home about. So.
Well, Johnny, you know, football season ends this week.
Yes, it does.
And now we're getting into spring training, so we're going to be hearing a lot more from you.
Fantastic.
Johnny. Are you worried about the 2008 season yet? Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 right now?
This is
about
exciting.
3 weeks from spring training.
This is exciting to set the baseline for 2008 here on January 30th.
Yeah, and you, by the way, we'll do it from 1 to 10, but as always, we allow you the luxury of going within minus 10 or plus 10 above the higher or the low.
Thank you very much, yes. It's like that on Sprockets, Dieter doesn't have any integers on his scale or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
There are integers in this one. 10 being nervous, nervous in terms of making the playoffs?
Yeah, 10 being the most nervous about the season, 1 being the least nervous.
9.3.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you'd be in around 13.
No, not yet. When spring training starts, I will. I'll probably try and pump it up in a couple weeks.
Is this the last year for the Giambino?
Yes.
Well, you got that going for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's $25 million they can have to play with next year.
That was one of the most catastrophic contracts I think ever signed.
That's $25 million they can spend to go sign a 400-pound CC Sabathia, who's a free agent next year. That'd be good.
No.
Give him $20 million. We didn't get Johan. We realized the mistake of that, so we're going to grossly overpay for free agent CC Sabathia. Mm. That's my prediction for 2009.
I could see him in that unit cramming himself into the pinstripes.
They'll give him David Wells' old uniform.
It is Taylor.
Exactly.
Yeah, but CC Sabathia. Well, do you think there's an outside chance Johan doesn't sign with the Mets or no? They have to sign him.
No, even the Mets can't be that dumb. I mean, if the Mets try to nickel and dime him now, I mean, my God, there literally would be riots in the streets of Queens. If you pulled off this trade for four nobodies and then you didn't sign Santana, I mean, the Wilpons would have to leave town, wouldn't they?
At this point, nothing with sports surprises me anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
if you
fair
had
point.
Shown me, I'm in, you know, as I've mentioned many times, I'm in a AL-only fantasy league, which is very intensive, and I follow all the prospects, and I'm always reading the top 100 lists of who the prospect is. But I've never heard of any of these Mets guys except for the guy who played a little for them last year. Like, I just can't believe, like, you know, when the Red Sox traded for Pedro, we gave up Rose and Pavano, who were like the crown jewels of our farm system. Rose and Pavano.
Right.
No, we gave Pavano and Armas.
Right, right.
Who are two of the three crown jewels we had. Like, I don't understand how the market has dropped for a number one pitcher like this.
It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. I mean, I know he wanted or wants, you know, 6 years of $150 or whatever, but I understand, you know, teams were reticent to give up prospects and pay a lot of money. But, you know, what Barry Zito signs for $135 million, I think that might have frightened some teams off too. So,
yeah.
Hang on a second. Come on in.
Oh, you got to go.
No, it's okay.
Oh, I thought we were going to get an actual work moment with Jack. Oh, that would have been exciting.
Thankfully, just a false alarm.
Before we let you go, anything else you want to talk about, or do you just want to go bury your head in the sand?
I'm just going to go get in the fetal position under my desk if it's okay with you.
All right.
You're
9.3 to start the 2008
season.
That's
the baseline for January 30th of 2008, yes.
Excellent. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All righty, take care.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.